Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Sorry, I lost my place now. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. But search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. My title for tonight's sermon or talk is You Can't Hide from God. That can be quite scary. If you're not in the right place, that can be quite scary, knowing you can't hide from him. Or it can be quite reassuring, knowing that wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, that God is with you. There's three different points to my talk tonight. First one is, God knows us. He knows you. He knows where you are. He made you, and he hasn't finished with us yet. That's the three, so you can go home now. I've told you them all, that's it. So first of all, God knows you. I'm just going to read it from the Message very briefly, the first 12 verses again. Let me go back. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back, I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there, then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact, darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. God knows you and where you are and where you go. I'm going to tell you a story now. Ali's going to laugh now. About a year or so ago, last year, we were planning on a summer holiday. And when I go on holiday, I like to go somewhere where I can get to things quite easily, because I can't drive. I like to be able to walk to a pub or a restaurant or a newsagent or a shop, anything. Now, Ali said she fancied going to Scotland, somewhere nice and quiet and remote. And in a moment of madness, I kind of agreed to this. She'd found this lovely little lodge in the middle of nowhere. And for some reason, I said yes and booked it. I think it was to do with the fact that she promised me a whiskey distillery on the way, which I'm quite partial to. But I was really outside my comfort zone. It was a bit of a drive. It was just west of Fort William. We've not really been to Scotland before. It was really, really this quiet lodge. And we got to the nearest Vilt town, and even when we got there, that was a small town. There's a couple of shops there. And it was a 20-minute drive over a hill, a mountain really, 1,100 foot high, into this little glen. Right, and the first thing we did was we're coming out of this village. Right, we had a donkey here today. The donkey's nothing. When we're driving up the road, Heather thought these were buffaloes, but no, these are actually Highland cattle. I'm not joking. We were driving up this road, and there was a whole whole herd of Highland cattle in front of us. It was like, oh dear, what do we do now? They're blocking the road. So I said, I just press the horn very gently. She did, and they eventually moved. Our dog Jet was, I think he was hiding in the boot, hiding about. He didn't want to mess with these guys. So we drove over the hill and came down, and we came to the place where we were staying. See, in that picture, it's a picture of the little glen. There's a little white building there. That's the place where the people who owned the lodge lived, and we were in the little lodge next to it. It was pretty remote. As we were driving down and we were unpacking, I said to Ali, I've got my phone out. I said, I've got no signal. How am I going to send a text? How is someone going to call me? And I thought, well, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. There'll be Wi-Fi. There's always Wi-Fi. When you go on holiday, there's always Wi-Fi, isn't there? Got into the little lodge. There was no Wi-Fi. I thought, what have I let myself in for here? It was very remote. I was outside my comfort zone. No phone signal, no 3G, no 4G, no nothing. And there was no G, no nothing. So got to the... So I said, well, there's a TV. Got inside, there's a big TV. It was Saturday. I thought, TV, at least I'd better get the football results. No. There was no phone signal, no TV signal, absolutely nothing. They had a roll raft of DVDs we could watch, but that wasn't going to get me the live football scores. It was very remote. I was well outside my comfort zone. I said to Ali, what? By this time, Ali had unpacked. She was sitting outside on the balcony having a glass of sparkling wine that they'd provided for us in the sunshine. And I was thinking, hey, to Ali, I said, what am I going to do? There's no signal. There's no TV signal. How am I gonna put all my ridiculous photos on Facebook for people to see? How am I going to see everyone's pictures on Instagram? How am I going to get my Twitter and my email? It was very remote. The next day was Sunday, and I said, where is God even going to find us here? No, I didn't say that, actually. I lied. That's just for making a point. And the next picture is a picture of actually where it was. And the message I'm trying to put across is that he knows us. We can try and hide, but he knows us inside out, and he pursues us. So often we sing about us pursuing God and seeking after him. But you know what, we're pretty, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty rubbish at that. And God is much better at pursuing us than we are at pursuing him. He seeks us out even when we don't deserve to be. We're singing that song, we don't deserve it. He seeks us out and we don't deserve it. And the reason I'm sharing this story and why this is important is that about 20 or so years ago, we were in a church, and not here, we were members of a church, and I'm not going to go into detail, because, you know, it's dealt with, and I had some great prayer with some people a few weeks ago from Louise, and we left in difficult circumstances, and I vowed then I would never become a member of a church. Seriously. And I didn't quite use the phrase, it'll be a cold day in hell, because it doesn't quite seem appropriate that, but it was, oh, seriously, we found a nice church where we lived, a local evangelical church, and we enjoyed being there, and but when I would never become a member. I said, Ali, I'm fed up of church. Fed up of church. And I was almost fed up of God in some ways. You know, God, I felt disappointed, let down. But God seeks us out. He pursues us. We moved, how long ago would it be now? We moved to the Wirral about 14 years ago. And we went to different churches. No, I've always felt disgruntled and settled. And before we moved to West Kirby. It's 4 years ago this week we moved to West Kirby. We weren't going to move to West Kirby ever. And we were going to go to and move to a different house in Mells, and it fell through, and we ended up moving here 4 years ago. If you'd have told me 4 years ago, I'd be up here speaking, I'd probably laughed. If you'd told me 4 years ago we were going to join the church, I would have probably laughed as well. So God pursues you. God chases you down, doesn't he? I can laugh at it now, really, where God puts you. Anyway, we spent 20 years wandering, but we got to a point about three and a half years ago, I had some personal issues, and we were talking in one of those songs we were singing about when you come to the end of yourself and only God can kind of touch that hole that's inside you, the hurt and the pain, and sort things out for you. And that's what happened to me. That's why we started. I said to Ali, I've got to find God again. I've got to find church again. And we started coming here, and I guess you know we've been here ever since. Ali said, let's try a different church. And I said, no, this felt like home. And I just want to thank everyone who's encouraged us to be part of that. That's the story. God pursues us. He knows us. He knows where we are. He knows where we're at. And even if we feel, it could be a long time that we feel out of touch with God and we're away from him, but he pursues us. He won't let go. And I'm thinking about my own children who aren't necessarily following God as I'd like them to be. But God is on their case. God pursues them. God pursues them. I'll digress. Second point, God knows us. He knows where we are. He'll pursue us. He made us. Now, I found this a bit of a challenge. I'm just going to read 13 to 16, the message. Oh, yes. Oops, I've lost it. Oh, yes, you shape me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. It's funny this because I can go back 20, 25 years. I started to learn guitar when I was in my mid-20s. And when we were leading worship in this church, we were told, we were encouraged to sing one of the psalms. And this psalm, this bit here, was one of the first kind of songs I kind of tried to make a song out of. It was about God making us. We're his creation. It was, and the chorus went something like, "Wonderful your works, wonderful your works, and my soul knows it well." I'm going to show you some fascinating facts about the human body. There is 37 trillion cells in your body. That's 37 with lots of zeros. Don't know how many. Your heart beats 100,000 times a day. Our brains contain 86 billion brain cells. That's a lot of brain cells. An average brain generates enough electricity to power a low-wattage LED light bulb. Finally, your feet produce over a pint of fluid every day. Your stomach acid is strong enough to dissolve razor blades. Don't try this at home. Apparently, your acid in your stomach will dissolve razor blades. So I thought I'd give you a laugh. God made us. We are an amazing creation. We are an amazing. If you think about our bodies and what we are, amazing. But I struggle with something. I have to be honest. I struggle with some of this because God says he made us in the room, but we know we're not perfect, don't we? And I look at myself. I know I've got a genetic condition which causes my eye condition, which means that when I was made, my genes weren't right. So it's a challenge. How do you marry that together with what God says about us being wonderfully made? And there are a billion people in the world with disabilities. That's a lot of people, disabilities. Well, our bodies aren't perfect. So I was thinking about this. God was, we can all say this. We can all say, I wish I was a bit shorter, someone's a bit taller, a bit slimmer, a bit smarter, a bit cleverer. And then God was challenging me, something Ali said to me that about the greatest, I haven't seen The Greatest Showman, but P.T. Barnum brings together a lot of people who are what's seen as outcasts from society. And so often we fit into the world's mold, don't we, of thinking that we have to be a certain way and that we should conform to the world's illusion of what is perfect. God says we are wonderfully made. God says we are wonderfully made. Each of us, each of you has a part to play in God's family because he has made us wonderfully. We've all got different talents, different skills. We are wonderfully made. And we may sometimes you can focus on the things you haven't got. God will say to us, look at what I've given you. That's my challenge for myself and for all of us, that we look at what he's done for us. The third part of my talk is, have patience. God isn't finished with us yet. God isn't finished yet. And that was from, that's a quote from, effectively from, paraphrase from Philippians 1 verse 6, where Paul talks about us being confident that God, who's begun a good work in us, will carry on to completion, that he hasn't finished with us yet. We're imperfect. We're a work in progress. We're a work in progress. So I'm just going to read the next few verses, 17 to 22, in the Message. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. And you murderers, out of here, all the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitations. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all this godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. And it finishes. It's like almost like David changes his tune and starts thinking, He says, investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Have patience. God isn't finished with us yet. I love the Psalms, and I love the way that David talks in honest terms about things. And so often, like I was saying before, we try and compare ourselves and to what we deem are perfect people. What's great about the Bible is that there are so many people who aren't perfect in the Bible. It can give us great confidence and hope. God doesn't choose the people who are perfect. He looks for people who are, as they describe David in the Bible, as being a man after God's own heart. He's after people who are after his heart. He's pursuing us. He wants us to follow him. So he's not looking for perfect people in here. And I look back to the previous verse. He talks about hating those who hate God. It's almost like he's defending God, saying, "Come on, God, we can go against your enemies." And then Jesus turns it all around, doesn't he? Jesus says, "Love your enemies." And I think David, he knew about violence. He was an imperfect man. He committed adultery. He murdered and killed lots of people. But then he says, "Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I've done. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life." Have patience. God isn't finished with us yet. David is really honest before God about how imperfect he is. And he asks God to come and investigate his life. And for me and for all of us, that's a challenge to all of us. I know for me, for many years, for the last 20 years, in wandering, walking around, not really knowing God was there, but not really following with all my heart. God is gracious. God pursues us. God doesn't let us go. And that's my testimony. And I'm grateful to the friends and people who've stuck by me and in those 20 years. And God is gracious to forgive the ways we've gone wrong, the ways I've gone wrong. So this is a picture of a little boy hiding behind a tree. You may think you can, but you can't hide. You can't hide from God. So I'm going to finish there, really. God, you can't hide from him. And that's my testimony tonight, and that's testimony to a challenge to all of us, that when we can be in places where we think we're far away, but God is not going to let us. He's not going to leave us there. We can feel like sometimes we're in exile. God doesn't leave us there. God pursues us better than we can pursue him. I'm going to finish by just playing a song by Delirious, a great band. And the song's called Investigate. And so if the band can come up, we're going to play. This gives me a chance to take off my headset and get back to the behind the drums. It's a song, it says, "Investigate my life and make me clean." It's based on the last few words of this psalm. So Lord, let's just pray before I go to the next slide. Lord, just thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness when we're not faithful. Thank you, you pursue us and you hunt us down and you won't let us go. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that you made us and the gifts you've given us. And I thank you that you've not given up on us and you've not finished yet. Amen.